The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
She literally took a step of faith and said, well, let me try and walk with some help. Let me try and walk on my own, and then ran, just knowing God had healed her and she didn't have to worry that she was going to re-injure herself. God honors faith that is expressed in both risk for Him and obedience.
Do you want to see more signs and secrets of the Messiah in your life? Rabbi Jason Sobel, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me. I know you know this, but whenever we have Rabbi Jason Sobel on the program, we get so much wonderful feedback. People just, oh my goodness.
Wow.
People love the way he brings the scripture to life.
Totally. I can see why.
Yeah.
He's like on a quest to bring love and hope and healing and wholeness through the Word of God and the amazing work that Jesus does in our lives.
Yeah.
I love
it. And he is a rabbi. And so you've got that background because Christianity is, you know, came out of Judaism, right?
Yes, that's
Christ
right.
was the fulfillment of the old covenant. And he understands a lot of the symbolism and what he calls signs and secrets of the Messiah. And it's just Christ revealing Himself. And by the way, this book will be available to you today if you're interested. But I want you to just sit and listen and learn and enjoy what we have enjoyed with Rabbi Jason Sobel.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why we wrote Signs and Secrets of the Messiah is that we really want people to find hope and healing and wholeness in Him. That's part of the supernatural, miraculous work that Yeshua Jesus does in our life.
Yeah.
And the first one I wanted to chat with you about is the miracle of healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the miracle of healing chapters in Signs and Secrets is talking about the man at the pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5.
Yeah.
Here's a man who had been an invalid, hadn't been able to walk 38 years, maybe his entire life, or certainly from the time that he was young. And Jesus comes and encounters this man and asks him, do you want to be made well?
Mm.
And when you think about it for a moment, it seems like a silly question, like, do you want to be made well? Like, who wouldn't want to be made well? But here's the reality. The reality is that oftentimes, when we've come out of a season that's been really difficult, where there's been sickness or trauma or pain for a long time, that oftentimes defines our identity.
That's right.
It becomes so part and parcel of how we feel, how we see ourselves, how we interact with the world, that it's hard to see past that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, right? They're free and they're like, man, we missed the food back in Egypt. Let's stone Moses and go back because the cooking's better. Yeah. That's like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a slave mentality. There was a victim mentality. They were struggling to move out of the past season. They were stuck. And this man was stuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when Yeshua asked him, do you want to be made well? He's like, well, I don't have anyone to pick me up when the water stirs and put me in and the angel. It's not what Jesus asked. He didn't ask, why aren't you well?
Right.
The question is, do you want to be made well? And the reality is hope deferred makes the heart sick. And what's interesting, a key detail in the story, this man could not walk 38 years. There's a reason why it says 38 years. Think about it for a moment. When you ask most people, how long did Israel wander in the wilderness? The answer is usually what?
40 years.
40 years. Correct, but not totally correct. Israel was in the desert for 40 years, but they wandered as a result of unbelief for 38 years.
Really?
Deuteronomy tells us this in the opening chapters. See, 2 years, God was helping them build the tabernacle. He was giving them the Ten Commandments. He was preparing them. and purifying them and healing them to go in and take the land.
Yeah.
It was in the second year that God says to the children of Israel, go up and take the land, sends the 12 spies in.
Okay.
They come back with an evil report, says there's giants in the land is good, but there's no way we're gonna be able to take it. And the people lack faith, they don't believe. And because they didn't believe, that entire generation wanders in the wilderness. That was 38 years.
Wow.
This man was representative of the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and because of their unbelief wandered and died in the wilderness. And Yeshua is saying to this man, do you want to be like the 10 spies and that generation who died in the wilderness 38 years because of their unbelief? Do you want to remain stuck? And so Yeshua is saying, but you don't have to. You can be like the Joshua and the Caleb. You can go in and find healing and possess the promise.
Wow.
And all of us have that choice.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. Many of us do get stuck in our pain, in our circumstances. And if we hang on to that for a long, long time, it does become your identity. And it's not meant to be your identity. And maybe even asking him, do you want to be healed? What he wants to do, take us from that pain, our brokenness, and bring wholeness, healing, fulfillment, that we could live a fulfilled, abundant life.
Yeah, and it takes a step of faith.
Yes,
right?
You
have to be willing to, you know, this man could have stayed on his mat, stayed on the ground.
Right.
Yeshua reaches down and healing him. He chooses to get up.
Yeah.
Okay. He takes that step of faith.
Faith. Okay, so here's the other thing, is when he asks him, if you want to be healed, he's like, yeah, and here's the formula for it. I can't get there. And the answer standing right in front of him, if he will just believe and obey. I think a lot of people, and probably some people who are watching right now, they're in a place where they're stuck. They feel like they're wandering in a wilderness. And right now, Jesus is saying, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed in your mind?
Yeah.
The solution is in front of you. It's Jesus. All these signs are pointing to him.
Yes.
Believe, obey. And if you want to talk to somebody, there is a telephone number on the screen where you can call and someone will talk with you. But all you need is Jesus. He's the one that can heal you. He's the one that will take you out of your past, out of your wilderness.
Amen.
And Jason, what you bring out in this is just such deep, deep healing truth. Now, I know you have some experiences with literal healing.
Yeah.
I think the greater healing is the forgiveness of sins, as we saw in one of the miracles of Christ. But you've seen physical healing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens with this, with the invalid 38 years, is he's lost hope.
Okay.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Goodness,
Hope is the belief that your future is going to be better than the past.
That's right, yes. Mm.
God wants us to know that our future can be better than our past.
Amen.
Oftentimes, we have a hard time believing that.
We do.
That's the power of these miracles and the power of the testimony, both past, like in the Bible, but also that we experience in our lives.
That's right.
So, you know, there was this, I've seen this several times, right? There was this young girl, she's a cheerleader, she was injured, torn ACL. She's the first person to come forward for prayer. Usually when you pray for people, like, you can't tell if they're healed instantaneously, but this was very clear, either she's healed or not. I'm like, Lord, I literally pray, Lord, give me the faith to believe for this, right?
Yes.
Prayed for her. And she's like, okay, she puts down her crutches. She has two friends holding her up. She's trying to walk. She said, okay, let me try walking on my own. She walked on her own. The next thing, she was running around the sanctuary. The Lord completely healed her. I needed faith to believe God could do it. I literally asked God, give me the faith for this miracle. She needed faith to take, literally, the man who was invalid, she literally took a step of faith and said, well, let me try and walk with some help. Let me try and walk on my own, and then ran, just knowing God had healed her and she didn't have to worry that she was gonna re-injure herself. God honors faith that is expressed in both risk for him and obedience. Mm. And another situation where I had a friend who was homeless in New York, and he was sleeping outside, got frostbite from the knees down, had gangrene. The doctors told him his legs needed to be amputated. I was a new believer. I went to the hospital. I just read the book of Acts, right? I said, okay, God can heal. Laid hands on him, you know, that faith and zeal of a new believer, right?
Yep.
And said, listen, silver and gold have I none, but I have in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, rise, take up your bed and walk. He came to faith, he got healed, and he walked out of the hospital. And that's what God does. There is hope. It doesn't matter 38 years, how long you've been stuck, how long you've been suffering. You never know, just one more time of faith and risk and obedience could result in God doing something miraculous.
Here's the hard question, because I've yet to find anything in Scripture where Jesus didn't forgive sins. He didn't heal the heart, heal the mind. And that's an ongoing process of sanctification. But there was an instance where people wanted to see Jesus do the tricks. They came to see the miracles, and he without a word, got in a boat and left. And when you talk about our faith, you talk about, we know God can heal. We know he doesn't always heal the body, and really any healing in the body is temporary anyway.
Right.
How do you align sort of the sovereignty of God and when it comes to the physical with...
Yeah, so I think one of the beautiful things is that when he dies on the cross, right? Why does he die on the cross? Well, think about it. How did sin enter the world? The first man and woman stole from the tree, took from the tree. So God puts back on the tree Jesus for you and me to undo the sin that happened in the very beginning. So when he dies, what happens? The kingdom of God begins to break into this reality. Mm-hmm. So we straddle two realities, this fallen world and the kingdom reality where there's power and healing and wholeness. And so that means because the kingdom has come, healing does happen. Miracles do happen. We can have hope, but because the kingdom hasn't fully come, what it means is miracles don't always happen, but they're possible and available to us right now.
But the goal is wholeness. It's not necessarily physical healing, it's spiritual wholeness, is it not? Because that's what we see in the nobleman's
There's saying. These four, we talk about in the book, there's these four aspects. There's spiritual, which is the most important. There's emotional or inner, right? There's relational, and there's physical. You know, physical is the one of four aspects of this reality of the healing, transformation and wholeness God wants to bring in our life. And this actually connects to another miracle, which is actually a miracle found in John chapter 4, which is Jesus heals the nobleman's son in Cana of the Galilee.
Yeah.
There's a royal official, son is sick, comes from Capernaum, comes to Cana, says, my son's sick, would you please come down with me and heal him? Well, here's the interesting thing about that, right? Jesus heals this man's son at a distance. What's interesting, he says, my son is sick. Well, the Hebrew word for sick is the word for a man is a chole. What's interesting is that the word for sickness in Hebrew, the root of it, or a hospital in Hebrew is the Beit Cholim, the house of the sick, comes from the word chal, which by the way equals 38, which ties back to the other miracle. But it means to, the root word for sickness in Hebrew means to bore out, to make hollow, or to make empty. So sickness is a result when something that is there goes missing. Then a vacuum is created. That vacuum creates a space for the sickness and the unhealthiness to be able to enter. So here's the point. When God creates the world, he creates it to be filled. Before it was filled, it was chaos, it was void, it was empty, until God said, let there be light. When Jesus cast out the demons, he said, listen, casting them out, if you don't fill them with my presence, the demons will come back even worse than before. Why? Because space is created to be filled. Either it's filled with God and it's filled with the good things, or it's going to be filled with demonic things or addictions and things that are unhealthy. Right? Now, what's interesting is that I had this, God spoke to me one time and he said, holy, holy, holy. But it wasn't what, it wasn't the Isaiah 6, it was H-O-L-E-Y, H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-E-Y. Mm. And what the Lord said to me is that all of us, before we know the Lord, as we come to know the Lord, we have holes in our souls. We have places that where there's void. We have places where there's a vacuum. We've got things that we've filled in our lives that are not healthy. Mm. All of us have those holes, okay? But he wants us to go from being holy, like holes in our socks, right? He comes in and by his holiness, he brings about wholeness in our lives. Yeah. And there's a wholeness in our lives that completely changes who we are.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's the
in
beauty.
Our lives.
That's the redemptive beauty.
Tammy, you know, the wholeness, the redemption, yeah. that is the beauty of the gospel. He takes the broken and he gives us hope and wholeness again. I love it.
I couldn't manage without that. Honestly, in my life, I've been broken a number of times. And I just, without it, without the redemption, the transformative power of Jesus in my life, I don't know where I would be. Mm. What a gift Rabbi is to all of us. And just the way that he brings scripture to life, Randy.
Yeah, I love it. And by the way, if you're feeling broken, if you feel like I don't have that wholeness that Rabbi Sobel was talking about, and you want to talk to somebody, pick up the phone. We've got people who care for you, who are waiting to pray with you, just to encourage you and really just show you that that wholeness is God's design for your life. And we take our mess, Tammy, and I know you know this, we all hit that point where we just take it and we say, God, I made a mess, or I'm hurting, or whatever it is. And he invites that. He wants us to bring it to him.
It's that surrender. For me, I've learned the surrender in my life. Sometimes I try so hard to carry the load by myself. But Randy, when I get to a place of truly surrendering and trusting God with the pieces, it's out of my obedience that blessings begins to flow into my life. Yeah. So I think to be in that pursuit constantly in your life, with God's fulfillment in your life and wholeness and healing and hope, chase after it. God wants that for your life. He longs for that. We'll stand with you in it. We'll believe for it for your life. We will pray with you today.
Yeah, and you said that word obedience, and you just have to understand that it's not our obedience that makes God want to make us whole. It's the wholeness that he brings that enables us to live a life of obedience.
Yep.
So you don't have to clean up to get to God. You bring everything to him and he cleans you up and he will do that right now. And listen, one of the things he does talk about in scripture is don't forget the poor, you know, look to those who are in need, love your neighbor as yourself, these kinds of principles. And that is an outflowing of what God's doing in your life. Yeah. We have an opportunity to be a blessing to so many people in need as an outflowing of who we are as believers in Christ. I want you to watch this and prayerfully consider, Lord, do you want me to be a part of this? I think you'll find that this is a great opportunity to share his love and his life with people.
Yeah.
Watch this and you'll understand. And by the way, if you join us in this, you can get Jason Sobel's book. Just request Rabbi Sobel's book, Signs and Secrets of the Messiah, when you support this beautiful outreach.
In the heart of Africa lies an oasis of healing. That special place is the Cure Children's Hospital of Uganda. Doctors here are well known for their specialization in neurosurgery. The children who arrive here are usually born with neurodisabilities like hydrocephalus, which is an excessive accumulation of water on the brain. Left untreated, about 80% die before reaching adulthood. Life Outreach is partnering with Cure to help save the lives of these precious children. Children like Oloka Favor, who is following up with his doctors for the third time.
I'm standing here in the Cure operating room with Aloka right behind me. He's 4 months old. I was speaking with his mom, Marianne, just a few minutes ago. She's 20 years old. Her baby, Aloka, is sitting right here and he's about to go into surgery.
The doctors that gathered to operate on Aloka Favor agreed upon a procedure to insert a single shunt to divert the excess water on his brain. The operation was a success.
apart from this being a Christian organization, I'm a born-again Christian. When you deal with complex operations, you realize that it's God that leads you through it. We cannot do this work without Him, definitely. And that's why we lead that prayer every operation.
Success stories like Oloka Favor are made possible by the support of Friends of Life Outreach. Their partnership with the doctors and team members of CURE is helping save lives. The hospital here not only offers highly skilled care, but also provides spiritual guidance to Oloka Favor and his mother, as well as thousands of other children and their families.
We're sharing the love of God in all that we're doing. We're integrating spiritual ministry. We're praying for the vulnerable. And thousands of people are coming to know Christ through the impact of this hospital. We're so thankful to James and Betty, Life Outreach International. We're so thankful to partner with like-minded groups like you to bless vulnerable children. It's just remarkable. There's miracles happening every day at our hospitals, and it wouldn't be possible without people supporting like you all.
I want to say thank you to those of you that have made those miracles possible. For many years, we have been partnering with CURE and saving lives. But Tammy, you know, I rejoice when I see stories like that. But my heart breaks for those who are still in need.
I know, Randy. It's like I watch and I get emotional watching it. I'm happy for these children. And I think what an incredible, incredible surgical center that's being built right now. We're going to do so much more beyond what we could even imagine because there's such a need. And I think that's the heartache sometimes is knowing that there's a need and feeling like there's nothing we can do about it. But here's the beauty of it. We know the need, and we know there's something that we can do about it today. Yeah. It's exciting. When I was learning about the surgical center, Randy, I was like, I get so excited about this ministry, the part of our ministry, like outreaching, helping people, leading people to Jesus, bringing them health, bringing them wholeness, whether it's water, food, pulling them out of a hard situation, and now being able to help these children that are suffering from neurological conditions. I mean, I'm just so honored that God would choose us to be a part of this, to make a way for these families.
You know, Tammy, we've been all around the world. We've seen some very difficult situations. And I couldn't see a child whose feet hurt if I didn't know we couldn't come alongside and put a new shoe on that foot. I couldn't see that child with a cleft palate, unable to nurse correctly or sometimes breathe correctly, if I didn't know that we didn't have the ability to provide that surgery and heal that. And with these neurological issues that we see, they're not just in Uganda where that surgical center will be, but all around the region, all around the world, because people are coming in from everywhere. They are overwhelming the doctors there. And instead of saying no more, we're saying let's do more.
Yes, yes.
So listen, This Christmas is going to be huge for so many people. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the typical 150,000 pairs of shoes. I'm going to offer those to the children who don't have shoes, and they will pass them down for many, many years. And so your gift today of $36 will put shoes on 10 children. A gift of $72 will provide shoes for 20 children. Many of you could provide shoes for 50 children with a gift of $180. Maybe you're at a level where you could say, I'm going to provide that cleft palate surgery. We can provide a corrective surgery for an average of $500. And if you're here in the U.S., Canada, Australia, most of the West, you know that is an incredible achievement for $500 to be able to provide that surgery. But listen, we want to go beyond that this year. Can you provide $1,000 for that surgical center? Could you do $5,000? Someone has already given hundreds of thousands of dollars towards the $1.2 million that center will cost. What can you do? Tammy, that's my prayer. Someone will say, Lord, what will you have me do to share your love this Christmas with some people in need? And then do it. Absolutely. Whatever God puts on your heart.
Yeah.
I know we can be a huge blessing to you.
Yeah. Don't hesitate. People are waiting on us right now.
Yeah.
So that would be my word for you. Just don't hesitate. If God has put you in a position where you can bless some people, then I would just say, then just respond. Just respond. And you know what's amazing about this, Randy? These surgeries don't cost these families anything.
Great point.
Anything.
Yes. Someone needs that Christmas miracle.
Yes.
You can be that miracle.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's do it today.
Yes.
For almost two decades, Life's Christmas Shoes and Smiles has continued to provide shoes for impoverished children throughout the world, as well as corrective surgeries for children with cleft palate disorders. By responding today, you can help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays, and for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children. $72 will help provide shoes for 20. $180 will help provide shoes for 50. And a gift of $500 will help provide a corrective smile surgery. This year, we have an incredible opportunity to help construct a new surgical center that will provide life-saving surgeries to children suffering serious neurological conditions. This $1.2 million project is up and above Life's normal budget. But because of one generous friend for Life, only $500,000 is needed. As a thank you for your gift of support to this life-saving outreach, be sure to request the blue crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider an extra gift of $1,000 or more to help construct Life's new surgical center. And with this gift, you may request this beautiful bronze sculpture, a cup of water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Let's do this. Let's be a blessing. And look, yes, you will absolutely be a blessing through the Christmas shoes and smiles, but that surgical center, you are going to save lives. And we always do it in the name of Jesus because that's who we are. And we have a great gift for you if you request it today, Tammy.
We're going to send you this book. You're going to want to have it, Signs and Secrets of the Messiah. Look, it's an exciting time to be a part of exciting things that are happening in the kingdom of God. Come alongside us. Let's do it together. We appreciate you. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Have you ever asked, is everyone happier than me? Sarah Bragg helps you identify unhealthy habits and increase connection with other people.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.